welcome to another episode of To The Unknown Pod, a TGFB podcast. My name is Jordan Bush. I'm the executive director of TGFB Media, which exists to help Christians understand and use Bitcoin for the glory of God and good of people everywhere. I am joined by two-thirds of the Iowan boys. We may be joined by the third-third of the Iowan boys here momentarily. Ryan, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Fourth.
The fourth. I'm not an Iowan boy. I don't count myself.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Ryan Finley, father of six, still working on projects with my children, businesses. And my son uses AI all day long for his software development. And I do as well.
Ryan, jumping the shark here. We're not talking about the episode title yet. My goodness.
Sorry.
Matt, introduce yourself. Go for it.
Yeah, I'm a pastor in Hawaii and where these other island boys used to be, hence the name. And I also been a serial entrepreneur and have just kind of walked that road of business as mission, business as activism, even I like to say, and also a father of six, just made 18 years married.
Woo, woo. Awesome. Let's go. Yes, Ryan, actually one of the inventors of Frosted Mini Wheats. Oh, no, that's a different cereal. Okay. All right. We are moving on. So today, as Ryan mentioned, so with this today is an AI, I wouldn't say the AI episode, but partially, I guess it'll be in some ways the AI episode that we've done so far. And so we're calling this Bitcoin and the Rehumanizing Effects of AI. Obviously in some circles, and especially I think even more in Christian circles, we've seen discussion about the dehumanizing effects of AI, the scary effects of AI, and there are lots of those. But there's also in lots of surprising ways in which that we're going to talk about, in which we think AI has a ton of potential to rehumanize a lot of places in a lot of areas of our life that have been to this point, have gotten to the point, just given with the existing tech stack and the existing, world that we live in, it's been really dehumanizing. And so, everyone acknowledges that AI is tremendously beneficial in some ways, but it's those edge cases that people are rightfully afraid of, or at least unsure about. So we want to kind of address some of this and some of the ways that we have, some of the ways that we're seeing in our own lives and experimenting with, in ways that we think will, again, be beneficial to you guys out there. So before we launch into that, though, I do want to mention a couple things. So as you can see over my right and left shoulders, we have the full stable of TGFB books. Over here, we have Thank God for Bitcoin. The second edition is going to be coming out very soon. We're basically, Amazon is ruining our lives. We are working on getting it uploaded there. And so you can order the second edition with a much better typesetting, much more professional, much more professional looking cover as well. So we are thrilled to have those. There's been a couple pre-orders at store.tgfb.com. So you can go over and pre-order those right now. We also have our kids book on offer. We finally, just the other day, I think I posted a picture on Twitter. We got, this is the paperback version. Very pretty, very great. We also have a hardcover version. We ended up, these are just great quality versions. We just kind of decided to pony up and do these things right in with the first iteration at the very least. And so again, they're not going to be bad in future generations, but these are just fantastic quality, very good quality, better than you're going to find with most kids' books, especially the hardcover. So you can run over to store.tgfb.com and scoop those up. Those are not pre-orders anymore. I need to take the words. I think I might've taken the words off. I can't remember, but I'm going to take off the words pre-order because they are fully ready to order. I have several thousand of them sitting on the other side of the screen in my office. So please go order those. We actually have some really cool things that we're going to be announcing relative to that in the next few days in relation to things that might motivate many of you to go out and order a bunch of them for friends and family. So be looking out for more of those. Over the shoulder, we have The Gospel According to Bitcoin. We might have some news about that in the next few weeks as well. That's to help Jesus pill your Bitcoin friends. Again, a very niche book, a very specific use case, but either for your own edification and ways that you can you know, more truly and more fully give thanks for thank God for Bitcoin. That's a great resource. So go scoop those up. We also have tickets for our TGFB event in Fort Worth, April 9th. We're going to be doing this the day before BitBlock Boom. So if you're going to be in the area or you want to be in the area for that, go grab your tickets for that. You can scoop them up right now. You can either get, let's see here. You can either get just a regular ticket. Let me share this so you guys can see what I'm talking about here. You can either just get a normal ticket for yourself, or you can get, there we are, get a normal ticket, or you can get a ticket with a merch bundle. So we're going to be ordering some, this is going to have like a specific TGFB hat that's relative, or that's designed only for this event. It'll only be available there. It's going to look great. And then we'll also have a custom t-shirt. And so you can order those right now. The tickets are only going to go up over time to the event. So go grab those right now. We will offer discounts for pastors, missionaries, and things like that. So if you want to invite members of your, you know, leadership team at your church or NGO, we'd love to have them. So go get those today. Beyond that, guys, let's get back to the topic for today. Let's see here. So we're going to talk about AI. So I guess let's kind of talk about, given our different relationships with technology, Ryan, you have a son who's a programmer. You have another son who's making some of the most groundbreaking and revolutionary AI videos out there. So shout out to Elijah. He's also doing a bang up job with doing some video clips for TGFB. So, you know, in my opinion, the much more important work that he's doing. So you have two sons who are leveraging AI as much as they can. So let's just start with Ryan. Ryan, where are you, you know, in terms of your boys and then you as well, where are you guys, how are you thinking about AI in ways that maybe aren't as, in a way that you see it as not so doomsday as maybe some others might?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess you could probably call me a little bit like a techno-optimist. I don't approach things like this with like a bent towards being afraid of it. Maybe it's just my age and generation, but I've lived through pre-computer and pre-internet. And so I've seen the world before all those things, and I've seen it afterwards. And obviously there's pros and cons. The reality is we can't live in the past. Obviously there's things that have changed about our culture that aren't good because of technology. But that doesn't mean that we can just like call technology bad and just give up, in a sense. Like it is the new reality in a sense in this world. And like, so I think when you view it as a tool, you use it to the glory of God and use it to do your job the best you can. You use it to add as much value to other people's lives as you can. And at the same time as Christians, like using wisdom at the same time. So all that said, I was like several years ago, I was very optimistic about like, I thought AI was going to have a pretty big impact on culture. I was like, or on our society. It's going to have like 10 times more of an impact than I even first imagined. And I was like way on the bullish side of things. I'll start off with my oldest son. He's a software developer. He went from not using it at all to me badgering him. And I'm like, dude, you need to get on this. Like you need to be starting to use all these tools as much as you can just to stay up on them. Fast forward to today. This is literally just in the last 2 years, I started really badgering him on it. He uses AI software development tools. And he's also, I would say he's an expert in software development. Mm-hmm. He's over 10 years learning. Like, so he was pre AI completely. So he learned the entire trade or the, the entire profession has completely just been revolutionized. And now software developers are using AI nonstop all day, every day. And like, what is that looking like? Tools that used to be prohibitively expensive for a normal person because they didn't have unlimited capital to build are now buildable within a couple of days. It's so mind-boggling. Like, we could easily bring him on and talk a whole episode just on, like, what he's seen. But all that to say, like, it's going to lower the barrier to entry for people wanting to build good things or tools that just weren't profitable enough to build or to justify the capital expense to build. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. It's going to add enormous amounts of value. So, like, and what does that mean for Christians? It means they're going to be able to build, like, you're going to, it's going to be, yeah, it's just going to be easier to build products that help people's lives. So, yeah. And as far as, yeah, the same thing with Elijah. I mean, the reality is they're both, I thank God that they're as young as they are, because, like, the pace of change in a lot of these industries is so fast. It's like, it's head spinning. And
the first AI native, you know, we were, I'm 46. We were, I remember the first home computers, like you said, Ryan. So I'm the first generation in history of home computing native, you know, maybe even a little not native, because I remember my childhood before, you know. Then you had the internet natives, because the computer didn't mean internet. Then you had social media natives. And if you notice, the social media native kids, they're not, I guess they're not kids anymore, they're in their 20s, but the social media kids don't have, like, a lot of public social media. They learned, you know, they actually know how to use social media better
than
boomers.
There's no evidence of them.
And then now it's the AI natives, and it's just amazing to think about, you know. Yeah, go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, this is, I mean, I can just kind of speak to my own thing. Like, I am not a programmer at all. I am not. And so, like, I'm hearing, you know, Jimmy's song. I'm hearing other people say, like, this is one of the most revolutionary things you've ever seen. You know, just like the pace of change. Obviously, there's tons of money that's just in a way that's very reminiscent of the dot-com bubble. Like, anything you just put AI on, you're selling it. You know, it's people are throwing money at you just because they're seeing dollar signs. So again, there's going to be a ton of misallocated capital just by, you know, scam artists and by people who, you know, probably have good intentions, but who just aren't going to generate anything of value. And yet at the same time, I mean, it like, I will say Google has been all but eliminated from my daily usage just by virtue of AI. Now, again, there's a bunch of different companies. There's, you know, there's, there's companies that I mean, somebody like OpenAI, like they seem like awful actors. And so I try to minimize my usage of them, but I kind of already built them into my daily routine to where I use them more than I want to. But like, even then, like, there's other, so like I prioritize using like Grok over ChatGPT on like ideological reasons. Also because, again, the reality is whichever site you're using, you're breathing life into this, you're breathing life into them. You're also exhaling out your own life in terms of the products you're using, the cars you're using, like all of this stuff, you're giving it data on you. And so there are, you know, so we can talk about a number of these different products. I'm also a subscriber to Maple AI, which is like a private AI. It's like locally hosted. And so I do use that, but I'm not finding it as helpful as some of these other things. And so I have to purposefully, intentionally remember that it exists and then try to use it. So like, I use that for stuff. If I'm going to be working with, like personal data, like if I'm going to be giving away something or if I have questions about something more specific, I use that. I don't plug that just into ChatGPT. I'm less likely to, definitely way less likely to plug it into ChatGPT. I don't give it like personal, you know, like identifying information.
I made a post I want to just throw in there. I made a post like a couple months ago and I had to renew my Grok or my whole X profile because the prices went up steep, you know?
Yeah.
And I posted like, wow, I can't afford these. I said I couldn't afford the X premium anymore. So I canceled my ChatGPT membership.
Yeah.
In other words,
yeah,
it's like your dollar's a vote. And I'm like, you know, and by the way, ChatGPT did certain things the best. I love how they could,
it still does,
I love how they could
the
export PDFs, those are things that the other ones aren't doing. So there's certain things that they still do the best. But yeah, yeah. I'm if my dollar, I can still get some of it free. And if my dollar's a vote, I'm going to vote for the thing I believe in more, you know?
Yeah. And so, that's kind of, I guess the biggest way that I'm currently using it is, I mean, again, it'll be like a Google Plus type thing where I'm like, all right, you know, I'm looking for this, or I have these questions and I'll just throw it in there. The thing that kills me is it'll still get rid of your stuff over time. That's something that I didn't factor in. So like there's chats that I searched for 3 months ago, 4 months ago that aren't there anymore. And I'm just like, oh no. Cause I had like all this really cool stuff that I had developed that is now just not there anymore. So I'm like, now I have to go back and redo it. And then I'm like, okay, now I know that I need to download this information. I need to, you know, do whatever with it. So again, there's just things that there's limitations, there's things to learn. One of the areas, let's just kind of talk through some of the other usages. One of the things is that in ways that we think this is going to rehumanize, right? Like I understand this is potentially a controversial opinion. I will fully acknowledge that some of this, it is difficult to calculate, to like put a number on, all right, where are we going to be in terms of beneficial versus potentially harmful, right? It's like, are you guys picking up nickels? I mean, there's a potential. Are we just picking up nickels in front of the steamroller? We're like, oh, look, here's this nickel. And look at this cool little shiny bauble that this thing can do. And meanwhile, like we're walking into a panopticon, I fully recognize the danger of that happening. But at the same time, you're like, all right, like what do we actually, I mean, there is some of that. That's like, what do we actually do about this? Is this just something that is going to happen, regardless, and we just kind of have to deal with it. With that being said, I mean, one of the places that I've found myself using this a lot is in relation to auto care. So I am not, full disclosure, this is going to surprise probably a lot of our audience. I know nothing about cars. I am not an engineer in terms of just temperament. And at the same time, I just find it fascinating. I just find it just fascinating to find and try to understand the underlying logic, or to realize that there is an underlying logic, that this isn't just completely haphazard, the way that my car works or the way that, you know, computers work. Like there is an underlying logic. These things do make sense. They're systems that make sense, that you can follow, that once you have a basic understanding, you can figure all this out. And so one of the places that I've used AI is in relation to auto care. So I was driving probably 4 months ago. I was driving a car 4 or 5 months ago. I was driving this car that I have, and the check engine light starts flashing. I'm thinking to myself, oh no. I know that this is a good way to blow up your cars if you drive, drive with the check engine light flashing. So I, pull over, I start telling ChatGPT, I think it was, just these are the symptoms. And it basically says, hey, the overwhelmingly most likely thing that's wrong with your car is either a spark plug or the ignition coil that the spark plug, I found out, is housed in. And so they're like, so again, it was helpful. It got me. It's like, hey, the overwhelming majority of the cases, this is what's likely, very likely wrong. And yet that got me to the point where I was like, okay, I still need to go to an expert. I still need to go to the auto parts store, to a guy who has a computer that you can plug in and confirm that this is what the problem is. So I did that, ended up going. The guy's like, yep, it's a spark plug. So all you gotta do is just take this. And I asked him, I was like, I'm not handy at all. Is this something that I can do myself? And he goes, yeah, you can do this. So I just proceeded to go home. I proceeded to take pictures, plug those into ChatGPT, and just, it might have been Grok, one of the two, and just kind of said what was happening, told the issue I was having, and it just systematically walked me right through. I replaced it, replaced the spark plug, and the car worked like new. It's worked like new. And I just remember just walking away from that and just being blown away. And again, the more information you give it, the more helpful it was. Same thing about 2 weeks ago, I was with my kids. My kids like to skateboard. So we were at a skate park. I'm parked out there working on my computer. After 2 hours of sitting there, just idling the car, the ignition or the check engine light starts flashing again. And so I look at this and I'm like, oh no. And I didn't think about the previous time that this had happened with my other car. And so I ended up turning the car off thinking like, oh, that's going to magically do anything. It obviously didn't. I turned it back on, the light flashes on. And so I proceed to start to open up either, I think it was Grok, and start to just outline the problems. Hey, I was sitting here for 2 hours. The check engine light is flashing. And I gave it as much information as I could think about. And it was like, it just basically said to me, oh, that's super helpful. So given the parameters, given the information that you gave, and if there's anything else that comes to mind, just let me know. It's very likely that it's either the spark plug or the ignition coil. And I was like, okay, you know, but again, still had the same problem of, yes, but I don't have a way to close that gap between it's 99% most likely this, but how do I bridge that 1% gap of certainty without, you know, risking blowing up a car? Yeah. And so, yeah. And so like, it was helpful, got it. And I had a buddy who was there with his kids. I went over to him and just basically I called AAA. They were going to come just, you know, tow me somewhere. And the buddy who I talked to has like the same van that I do, but 1 year newer. And he just basically said, hey man, based on what you're describing, I do think it is the spark plug or the ignition coil. And if you want me to like, I'll just, my wife is bringing my tools right now. I'm happy to help you. And so within an hour, we had gone and bought the parts. We'd replaced them. We had found something else that was wrong with the van. I had like my, like the air, there's like some sort of air tube or whatever that air intake tube or something like that, that had this giant crack in it that I just hadn't seen.
Vacuum line.
Yeah. And so I just basically got that part. And within an hour, we had replaced everything and the car was looking like new. And so really what I, you know, we were talking before you hopped on the call, like what I realized is, okay, so what I need to do is in order to close that 99% gap or 95%, this is in 95% of the cases, this is the problem. The one thing that I need to do to be more, you know, able to solve this problem is I just need one of those computers. I just need one of the computers for my car. And then again, I can just diagnose it right away with that. And those aren't very expensive at all. And so between those two things, again, the biggest thing that I lacked was not even information. It's just confidence that I understood the system well enough to be fine on my own without needing to go out and spend, literally it would have been $1,000 at least to between parts and labor and time, whatever, not to mention the time that I wouldn't have had the vehicle, not to mention the inconvenience of all these other things, all the other things that would compound, you know, AI and, you know, these other things ended up AI and good friends. Like we're still in a world where we need both of them. They're not sufficient in on their own. And so, yeah, there's a couple examples where I just have found this very helpful. Now, again, could I have done the same thing with YouTube or with, you know, Google or YouTube? To a degree, it would have taken way longer, right? Like I could have looked and found a video of somebody doing this. Like it's possible.
I've got a good follow-up to that, Jordan. And I know we should talk about fixing cars the whole time because I could, but it's perfect. I think it's a good other side, right? How do you balance it with local experts and friends? And it's a perfect example because I had a on my truck, and actually yesterday I repaired on my Escalade a tie rod end for the first time in my life. And, you know, it made my steering on my wife's vehicle. You know, that's actually a safety issue. Made the steering better. And I diagnosed one other problem. But this one was on my F-150 and it blew a transmission line. And so I was searching on AI for so long. And it's so hard to find this thing because it's like a long steel piece that goes back like 6 feet and you have to wiggle it all through. And somewhere in my human intuition, I'm like, there's got to be a simpler thing than this, you know, and I'm trying to look up like, is this line pressurized? Are there any ways people, and sometimes I'll say, search Reddit. Are there anything people do to like temporarily fix it? Finally, I probably spent 2 hours, you know, because I'm trying to get this thing. My truck is down. I can't use it. Got to haul trash, everything like that. Finally, I had this intuition, like, I'll bet you I can just put a hose in there, you know? I go into the old timey shop. It's called Pahoa Auto Parts. You know, my town is like owned by one guy. His house is in the back. That's the kind of guy he is. And I'm like, hey, I got this thing. You know, I think, can I just swap a tube on here? He's like, oh yeah, you just need a fuel line. You know, he's like DOT. They want you to have the steel lines, but as long as it's not hitting a fan or something, you're good. And I'm like, I knew it. But all I needed was 10 seconds with this guy. I'd already spent 2 hours on AI, and that's a perfect reversal where I'm like, I think, and so what I've learned to do, and I just repaired, actually, let me share my screen. I just repaired something yesterday that I tested before this call, and it's a solar panel. So my solar panel stopped working. This runs a water pump at a farm for our church, and I punched in the numbers, and it said, oh, when that happens, you know, it's this diode and it won't allow the power to come through. And, you know, I think it was like $8 for 20 of these or something like that. And last night, you know, I just soldered this on here and tested it today, and it's working. And that is not my specialty whatsoever, you know? So the human part, I've kind of learned, especially on important things, because I have had AI lie to me too. It lied to me about my timing chain.
Yep.
So if I do a little AI lesson, as I understand it here, LLMs are super powerful for certain things and mm-hmm. other things they're not as powerful for.
Yep.
And so vehicles, to the point of vehicles, F-150s, there's like 50 million of them or something. You know, I made that number up, but there's like millions and millions and millions of them. Your car, whatever your car is, most cars have like 3 to 5 things that typically go out. That's a problem.
Yep.
And oftentimes there's like an upgrade that fixes it, you know? So LLMs are so good at that because there's this problem has happened hundreds of thousands of times. So
yep.
LLM stands for large language model. That means they can go out and scrape the info and bring you back the information back. And I don't know if that's a lesson for anybody out there, because part of what I think the humanizing part we're trying to talk about, my brother-in-law asked me this about music because he's a musician. One of the things I said, AI creeps us out because it seems like it's a person.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why it's creepy. Okay. But it isn't a person. It is just another tech.
Yeah.
It's just another form of tech. And I think thinking about it biblically, thinking about it philosophically, there's really no tech that people should be ultimately afraid of, because a discovery of something new is just a discovery of more truth in the world, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Tech in a certain sense is truth. So we humans didn't invent electricity. We discovered it. We humans didn't invent anything that really matters. We discovered air conditioning, right? We discovered that if something goes from compressed and it goes from something that's compressed to decompressed, it causes coldness here and hotness here, right? That happens with storms. That happens with whoever. We took that and we made refrigeration. We took that and we made air conditioning. There's probably 1,000 cities in the world that wouldn't exist if there wasn't air conditioning, without even joking, you know? I've heard someone talk about that, like Atlanta wouldn't exist. Atlanta wouldn't exist. Las Vegas wouldn't exist, period. That city's not there except for this invention, you know? So those are not really like humans invented it. Those are like we discovered a principle of the universe. And trying to bring that to AI is a little more challenging, because AI is built upon huge data sets, which came from like other technology, which came from like being able to have huge data sets due to like data storage technology. And high levels of computation. And you took high levels of computation and huge data sets, and someone said, you know, together as a community, as a world community, we go, wow, what if we could figure out with the computation how to really access what we need in the data sets? And essentially, you guys can correct me if you think I went off anywhere, but essentially that's LLMs. That's LLMs. It's not a person. It seems like a person because it sounds kind of like that. And it interfaces with you in that way. But it's not, even if you feel like it's creepy, you have to understand it's not even a matter of, do I like having this in the world or not? It's here.
Yep.
And it isn't something we invented. It's something that was there to discover in a certain way.
Yeah. And this, man, this really is, it's something that I think about a lot. I do think it's, there's a ton of things we should make a running list. This should be something a gag that we do over and over again, is just keeping track of things that have been presented. Oh, this is just the future. This is the future. You know, it's going to be just like this. There, you know, there's no way you can get around this. And then those things that then just disappear. Like, there's been a lot of things that people have been like, oh, it's going to be the future. No, this is going to be it. And then it's just gone, because a lot, like, it just, all these things were based on faulty understandings of either reality or faulty understandings of people or faulty understandings of overestimating, you know, the, you know, certain things. And I do think that we don't have a good understanding of technology. This has been something that we've done more work. The Thank God for Noster podcast is on a extended hiatus right now. And so, but that's something that we, over the, you know, year and a half that we were, you know, for the first year and a half, we talked a ton about philosophy of technology and just trying to think about, like, how do we rightly think about this? Because there's people who go, oh, well, technology, you know, technology is neutral. And it's like, it depends on the technology. Like there are neutral technologies, you know, like there are tools, but at the same time, there are tools that shape the way that you see the world in ways that are not neutral. And so, for example, like one of the things that there's a guy named Alistair Roberts, who's a theologian and just friend. He's a good dude. But one of the things that he talks about is the most damaging thing that ever happened for church membership was the creation of the automobile. Because whereas in the past, basically travel was much more difficult and it was costly for time, the automobile allowed you to travel and move away from communities in ways that were much more difficult, that there was a cost to using them. And so something like church discipline, right? Like church discipline, which, you know, if you're in a good church and church discipline is practiced, this is something where if somebody goes off the rails, again, the church tries to you know, reach out to them and minister to them to convince them to abandon their harmful, you know, pattern of life. But in the age of the automobile, you can disappear from, you know, going to a church in your local town. You can drive to another church that's in your town. That's could be up to an hour away. So you could be 60, 70 miles. It allows you to access towns that were at distances that, you know, where nobody knows you. Nobody knows what you've been involved with. And so then you could potentially, or whoever this person is, could be harmful to that spiritual community. And so we want to, we can acknowledge that technology can be neutral, but there's also a limit to that understanding because it can shape, it can present a different world. It can alter and shape and affect the way that we see and live in the world in ways that are very anti-human, in ways that are at odds with how, you know, God intended us to live. I just think there's other ways you can think about this too, right? You can think about electricity, which, you know, God created us to need sleep. He created, you know, he put a light in the sky and it's up for a certain amount of time per day for the majority of us, depending on where we live. It's up for a certain period of time and then it's gone. And that's instructive. Like that's a good gift from the Lord. And so something like electricity can fundamentally shape the world that we live in, right? Like our experience of the world by enabling us to, if we wanted to, live in perpetual sunshine for all day long. And there's been all kinds of studies done to how, you know, that affects our circadian rhythms and affects all kinds of other things. So again, I do think that we're still trying to reconcile and figure out, you know, the effect and how to think about AI in this context. There's always going to be... Yeah, go ahead.
If I could stand up for the neutrality position, and I'm not even saying that's my position, but just to stand in place of that, it's like the example you gave is a great example of community, you know, and church membership and stuff. And I actually walked to my church.
Yeah.
And some other people do too. There was this, I my car broke down at the grocery store.
Yep.
I see Carl from church. He drives me home. Then now his car is broken down. He walked to church because he's close enough. And after church, I'm like, you want to ride home? You know? So I was like, anyway, the point is, I wanted to make is it's kind of like all tech is a force multiplier, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it multiplies in a sense what's in your heart and gives you more power, where that person who doesn't want to hear that he's done anything wrong wanted to leave anyway, but he didn't want to suffer the social cost of like just being like, I don't go to church anymore. Why? Mm-hmm. Because you said that I'm not perfect, right? Or I asked you for money and you said, what do you need it for? I don't have to take this. I'm going somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask for money over there, which happens all the time, by the way. As a pastor, I've had the conversation both ways. Like, hey, I heard so-and-so might be going to your church. Just so you know, they might be asking you for money soon. And, you know, leave it up to you what you should do about that. And that's the modern world if you have healthy inter-church relationships. But yeah, that person would have probably stayed on the threat of not spiritual things, but of like these social things. But now they have the power to just like disappear and make up a new story and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And in the same way, you know, guns from arrows and everything else just multiplies it to a higher level. I think that's kind of the neutrality argument. And it goes along with what really is tech. You know, now that we have guns, unless every single person on earth is wiped out,
the knowledge of how to do it exists. It can never, we can never go back. It isn't the steel. It isn't the machines. It's the knowledge.
Yeah. I have a, I wanted to just talk about a positive change that I see happening, and I'm not sure that it's very commonly seen. So as we've been talking about how AI is helping us interact with the real world more often now. So it's like we're constantly coming across problems every day. When you have instant access to almost any information, it does enable it. It like encourages you to like take on the car project, the appliance project, the home project, like a million different things that maybe you don't have someone that was an expert that you actually had really quick, like you had access to. But for better, at the end of the day, AI tools are helping push us forward in the sense that like, I'm doing more things with my car now. I'm taking on more car projects, more home projects, more like I'm actually getting back into the appliance trade. So it's like, it's causing me to branch out and repair different types of appliances, brands that I didn't used to deal with before. And that's a good development, and it's happening to millions of people. And one of the, again, back to what I was originally starting with, people have no idea how disruptive AI is going to be to most most jobs, period, but I'll especially, I'm going to start with white collar, like information related desk jobs. Like we're about, over the next 10 years, there's going to be the biggest shift in employment. Like, I mean, probably easily back to like the Industrial Revolution. It's going to be absolutely massive. Like, how capable the AI tools are right now, they're 100 times more advanced than people understand. We're literally in this weird catch-up phase where business owners, they just literally don't, most of them don't have a clue, but they're going to very quickly because their competitors are going to. And anyways, I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. There's a lot of people that are going to be changing careers and a lot of jobs that are going to go away. But if you look out across the United States, for example, there's a lot. And I would say there's an enormous amount of jobs that I would say are a net negative for our society. And again, a much longer discussion. Money printing has enabled the misallocation of resources at a scale like we've never seen before in the history of the world. And AI, ironically, is going to be a big giant bubble burster when it comes to a lot of those like worthless jobs. They're just not going to be necessary. And as companies have to be, they're going to be forced into becoming more efficient and not wasteful. A lot of those jobs are going away. I'll just say that straight up. And it's going to be a lot faster than people recognize. So I don't think that's a bad thing. And then at the same time, So younger generation, I think they're wisening up and they're getting back into the trades more than ever. So they're actually, they're going back into physically making things, building things, repairing things, which is ultimately what the world and our society has needed as, again, it's misallocated resources. Humans are the most valuable resources we have. And when you take them and you put them into jobs that are completely meaningless, completely worthless, that's not a net improvement to the world, even though they technically got a salary. It's like, that's not...
It's doing the job that an automaton could do.
Yep.
You know, I just want to say a philosophical thing, and we can leave it be or go into it, but I think, imagine you had all power, you know, technology gave you all power and now you're kind of God, right? Like God's eye view. The real question that AI can't answer for us is like, what's good for humans, right? What's good for humans? And on another sense, in the market sense, what do humans want? What do humans need? You know, that's more of a market part. And that's where all humans, but especially we fellow Christians, should be saying technology should be used, including AI, for things which help human flourishing. And those things are 10,000 different things. But knowing what those are, there's going to be an edge in business. There's going to be an edge in entertainment and media. There's going to be an edge in, you know, imagine, I love the thoughts of solving the simplest things. Water in places no one has drinking water. It's like the simplest thing you can imagine. They don't have drinking water. Now they have water. Now their death of at childbirth is reduced by like 500%. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So even things like that, and I don't want to go on and on, but the point being, humans have to direct what is good. What do we want? What do we need? And what is good for humanity? And those are questions that can't be answered in an LLM other than comparing and contrasting, like comparative religion, comparative philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody, Nick Carter posted, like, it was last week, was like, it was something about, it's never been a better time to be an ideas guy. He's like, because like, up to this point, the limitation for an ideas guy, which is what I'm an ideas guy. Like the limitation for me was, I don't know how to build anything. Like I'm just not a programmer. I'm not a developer. And he just basically like, that's just gone out the window. Like now if you have ideas, and again, it takes time to learn all these things, but like if you have ideas and like a basic, you spend some basic time just to understand these tools, you can create things that would have taken, you know, a dozen people and tens of thousands, if not more, of dollars. Yeah. And so like that kind of thing is, I mean, just that reality is going to be really good. Now, again, the problem is we're at, if we're going to go, as much as we've said, this is going to be the rehumanizing thing, rehumanizing effects of AI. It does, as I say that, the verse that comes to mind is, you know, one of the scariest things in the scriptures, which is God's evaluation of the Tower of Babel. Now, nothing that they want to do will be impossible for them. Right. Like when God says
good
that
one.
Yeah. Like when God says that nothing they'll want to do, he's not meaning that as a compliment. He's saying like, and again, he's not saying like anything, but like human collaboration. Exactly. Like human collaboration, like can be a terrifying thing when it's, you know, when it allows them to deny certain fundamental realities of, you know, whether they're biological realities or spiritual realities or whatever. But I do think that, you know, like one, again, to bring this full circle to Bitcoin, one of the things that is so revolutionary about Bitcoin is just the bringing, it brings up the reality that everything is grounded in energy and energy is grounded in reality. Like it's this real thing. Like at the end of the day, energy costs are the most basic, most basic need of all businesses, whether they're individuals, yeah, you can't fake it. You can't fake it. You can try to shortcut it. So you can drink your Monster energy drink and, you know, like over the short term, you can get a short term benefit, but then you're going to crash. You're going to pay the piper, physically or, you know, mentally, whatever it is. And so, I just think like a world where we, again, the world goes like this. We cycle through, you know, things where we acknowledge and we, you know, acknowledge the reality, physical reality, spiritual reality, whatever. And then, you know, by virtue of you know, benefiting, we benefit by acknowledging those realities. And then technology can allow us to kind of, you know, it can lengthen the gap between when we feel the effects of a denial of reality. And so, you know, money printing is the way that this happens. You know, money printing has allowed all kinds of anti-human, anti-real, or, you know, reality, you know, technologies, whatever it is, ideologies, it's allowed them to exist because we can create money out of thin air. In a world where money printed out of thin air goes the way of the dinosaur, right? Like where nobody wants to accept it.
Well, isn't it interesting that a new technology is the thing that's checking that?
Yeah. Yep.
Satoshi releasing Bitcoin into the world was like an atomic bomb going off in a war against fiat currency and their unlimited money printing. And it's like, do you see? Like, so like I do like the roller coaster of like, I remember being back. It was like 2012 or 13, 14, something right there. This is after Bitcoin had been released. I had barely been on my radar. I was like in despair. Cause I'm like, our one chance to become fiscally responsible. And they bailed out all the banks again. The whole thing from the great financial crash, 2008, they didn't learn their lessons, punting again, screwing everyone over again. And it's like, dude, what? Like, I was like, how in the world are we ever going to fight back against this? Literally nobody even, like, nobody's even paying attention, which is one of the biggest issues. And all of a sudden Satoshi sneaks onto the scene, just quietly releases some code. What? But it's literally, it was like a bomb going off. So we have to be careful about, again, it's like, it's so easy to demonize technology. It's like, no, God uses technology. He also uses it to check the wickedness in the world. And
yep.
I do actually, even though there's going to be wickedness that's going to come from AI, I actually see some of the advances that AI is going to, that are happening. It is going to check some of the worthless debauchery
yep.
that is going on in our culture,
yep.
in the work world, in the misallocation of resources, and yeah. Anyways,
I can see a paradigm like I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jordan. If you had something,
no, go ahead, Ryan. You're good.
You mean Matt? Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Matt.
I was gonna say, like, here's a paradigm. Okay, 20 years ago, I would have said, I don't want cars being driven by robot. I don't want, like, robot cars. They're already talking about it 20 years ago. Like, that's creepy. Who's going to be responsible in the case of an accident? All the same arguments you hear today. And then I drove around people for a while. So you don't want to have robot cars. Have you ever tried driving around people? They're the worst. People are 100 times worse. And so I'll take the one in 10 million.
But yeah, but the problem is, this is where I'm going to disagree with you. We don't get enough disagreement on this podcast. So let's do it. Like, the problem is, it's like, it's one thing to say, I mean, I don't think humans are 100% worse. I think humans with phones are 100% worse. Like, that's the thing. I've almost docked two symptoms in the last 3 weeks because of people who I think were on their phones. Like, and so it's like,
I had one time when I was
humans without self control.
I had a time when I was hitchhiking, you guys. Just, it was kind of for fun. I wasn't that broke, but my car was broken down. And I'm like, I'm going to hitchhike like some of the people around here do, which they do here. And I got picked up by pretty much like 75% people drinking beers, you know? So it's like, there's way more people out there drinking and driving than you even think about, you know? And I'm talking about like a 30 cans on the seat. And they're the ones picking me up for hitchhiking. Anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say is, in a way, this was always the best, is to not make the driving the thing that we do. But the thing we do is, why are we driving there for a meeting? Why are we driving there to see our family? And I think if we can switch it, so driving is one of those things, and I'm fine with the disagreement. So other things like art we talked about, okay, art, media, etc. People think, well, this is creepy. Now you're going to be seeing all AI art. Well, guess what? None of it's going to be compelling unless it's put together by a very creative mind, period.
Mm.
It's not going to be compelling. You might be able to get some stuff that will entice your two-year-old to watch for 4 hours long because it's just like dinosaurs bumping around the screen or something like that with a dumb plot. But no, it's not going to become the next big thing unless a person directs it and makes it good. And I've been watching recently like the 3-4 minute PSYOP anime group. I don't know if
you've
seen that yet, but
it's pretty incredible.
Yes. It's insane. But guess what? Those guys are all anime guys. Those guys are guys who worked on physical anime. I don't know if all of them did. That's why it's so good. And I looked up both details on what they did. It's a combination between AI and then they're cutting it and they're putting in the audio themselves. That's why it's so good. That's why it's not slop. And I'm not saying it will get better. It will get even more powerful where you can do the cuts and everything. I'm not saying it won't change. But in the end, to be that person, let's say you want to be that person. You're an amazing creator. You have amazing ideas, amazing storyteller 30 years ago. Now you have to start off when you're like 17, making like $4 an hour in like a manga studio drawing trees or something like that. And you have to work your way from this and you have to work your... And this is true in music. This is true in movies. And, you know, talk about the pipeline being filthy in Hollywood. You wanted to get into Hollywood and make movies? Talk about the filth you have to go through and the parties you have to attend and the people you have to impress and all this other stuff you have to go through. And that goes back to my, you don't like working with computers? Try working with people, you know? Try working with the people in those industries. And even in the church community, I knew a guy who had been in multiple churches, the lead worship leader for like 3,000, 5,000. Ryan knows him too. And the stuff he told me about back scenes over there, horrible, horrible.
Yeah.
Because of that position, there's so much bad that goes on even within the Christian community. Because once something is attractive in a worldly sense,
it attracts the wrong kind of people as well as the right people, you know? So now you have this tool, and AI is such an interesting cousin of Bitcoin in a way. We could talk about that too, but
yep.
AI, now you have this tool where if you have a good idea and like $300, you could make an epic 3-minute compelling video, which will get you noticed, get you on the scene. And in the past, that would have had to be part of it luck, part of it skill, part of it like a decade of work, and gatekeepers all along the way who they might not like you because you didn't do drugs with them. They might be like, this guy's judgmental because he wouldn't do cocaine when I laid it out for him. Now he's not going to get the position, right? That's the kind of stuff that's happened all this time. So to me, there's a parallel with the driving thing. Like, it was always terrible. And one more thing on that I'd love to bring up, deepfakes. People are like, no one's going to believe what they see. And you can't tell if it's deepfake. I'm like, you never should have believed what you saw in the first place. That's the lesson. You should have seen the news and be like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that there was no deepfakes. It was already fake. It was already fake. You shouldn't have believed it. Yeah. You should. I mean, you should have tested it. I'm not saying absolute. I'm saying,
I know, but here's the problem, though. The problem is there's only so much time in the day. Like, that's where, like, there's always going to be ways for scammers to win in the short term. But, like, there's only so much time that you have. There's only so much attention that you have. All these things are actually scarce. Like, scarcity is actually built into the way that the world operates. And we're getting to the point where we're more offended by people wasting our time and wasting our, but like, we're still nowhere near as offended as we should be. Like, we're still nowhere near as frustrated as we ought to be. I still think as the margin that, I mean, again, I feel like people around the world are less tolerant of it because they have less margin. One of the reasons why, like, one of the things that's waking people up in the United States finally is like the lack of margin that they're having. And so, like, when their lives were destroyed because of lies about COVID, or their lives were destroyed because of, you know, vaccine, whatever, all these kind of things, like, it's when you get to the point where it actually costs you something that you are moved to actually care and actually act. And so I think that's part of the problem, is we've been so fat and comfortable, and people were just like, I just don't want to lose my job, or I don't want to do this. But you're getting, like, there's a tipping point where it actually, you realize, oh, I've already lost my job because I got canceled because of whatever I did. Or, you know, I got, in the UK or something. Oh, I lost my job because I posted on Twitter. Like, it's stuff like that, that it's like that level of overreach and insanity is paradoxically and ironically the thing that will actually move people to act with like reckless abandon, right? Like, you have people, one of the I can't remember what they call it, like, they're not Blade Runners, but it's people who are going around and they smash the little the cameras that are like these like surveillance that are in the UK. It's not Blade Runner.
They send automatic tickets and stuff like that.
Yes, exactly. And so there's people going around, they like dress all up, and then they go and they smash these things, or they take like a saw and they like, you know, like a reciprocating saw and like cut down these things. And it's just like, you wouldn't do this unless, like, there's like 25 insane steps that had to happen for anyone to get to the point where they're just like, I'm willing to risk whatever comes with this to take this out. And so, again, all of these things, like the worst abuses, they're only going to have a limited shelf life, right? And so that ought to be encouraging. But the problem is, even like that shelf life can still be catastrophic, aka, you know, some of the things that happened in Nazi Germany, some of the things that happened in China today. Like, it like the fact that there was a shelf life, like, Christians can be way too dismissive of like, well, God's on the throne, brother. God's on the throne. Like, it's like, yes, he can still be on the throne. And that's, that ought not to be something that just motivates you to inaction, or just to, you know, just to, you know, marginalize or minimize the damage that can be done. So I think that, like, you know, that one of the things that I see is just, again, to your point, to the point that we talked about, like, AI can be great. Some of the greatest harm that can be done is because of centralized AI. And so, like, there ought to be people taking that seriously and then investing in companies, you know, investing in supporting companies like a Maple AI, or there's a number of other ones. I think Jameson Lopp has one that he supports he's invested in or something that's a private AI where it's locally hosted AI is what it is. But again, all of these things, it takes time to use them. It takes time to understand them. And so there is, you know, there's going to be learning curves. But
I think there's a lurking point that you that is underneath some of what you were saying, Jordan, and maybe even Ryan, where the word reputation. And so like what I said, you should have never trusted them, right? I'm using that as an extreme case, but you trusted them because they had a reputation and they built a reputation on,
yep,
we make sure our journalism is correct and we double check it, we fact check it. And this one newscaster has been on for like 20 years. He's not going to risk his career for a lie, right? And little by little, that started deteriorating until now no one trusts the MSM practically, the mainstream media. And one of the things that tech, not only AI, but also just social media and all that kind of stuff, in a weird way, it's, and I think we see this with college degrees. I'm trying to lump all these together. College degrees, you know, Elon's like, don't even go for getting a degree. You know, a lot of people, same thing. What were those degrees for in the first place? And my way of thinking about it is those are a proxy for your reputation. In other words, if I built 20 homes and people can go look at my homes in my community and go, Matt builds good homes, right? Now I have a reputation, I'm going to have unlimited work, but that's on a local scale. So we say as a country, you need to be a contractor. So you have to, everyone knows you've gone through this much schooling, you've done this much hours of work, and you're certified and you're insured, right? But all those things are like large scale proxies for just having a good personal reputation.
Yeah.
What I think I see happening in this day and age is I'm not saying you shouldn't be a contractor. I'm just saying we are now being able to go back to the personal reputation because people are out there. A lot of people are there with their real names online on X and stuff like that. This is me. You can choose to trust me or not trust me, but I'm going to build my reputation on telling the truth, on admitting it when I made a mistake, on the work that I'm doing. And I think that's a really, really good thing because the personal reputation was the real thing and the certification was like a second best proxy. And that's one of the positives about the modern era with AI and Bitcoin and everything is we can rebuild personal reputations, even if we have certifications and degrees and stuff like that.
They injected themselves into the equation like credit card companies just to extract, to be the arbiters of credentialism. And it wasn't necessary. And yeah, it's interesting. Like I wanted to say I want to jump back into that, the car thing. Strictly from a human flourishing perspective, like self-driving cars in 10 or 15 years, even 5 years, they're going to save so many hundreds of thousands of lives per year. Like it's literally going to blow people's minds. And obviously there'll be some privacy trade-offs and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, I have a really, really hard time seeing it being a net negative. And it's also one of the hardest jobs in the world. Okay, if you just literally consider the well-being and the flourishing of a family, fathers who are long-haul truck drivers, like that's a really, really hard job on a family, right? Mm-hmm. The dad has to drive so far, he's just gone for a long time. It's like, and it's a dangerous job. Like, that would be incredible if there's long-haul.
Yeah.
Dude.
There's prostitutes at truck stops. Like, there's lots of things that, yeah.
And so prices will come down. It'll be better for those families. Why? Because it's not like, oh, my dad's never going to have a job again. No, he'll just like, if he's willing to work hard, there's like 100 other things he can do. So it's going to reshuffle around labor like we've never seen it before. Like the self-driving stuff is going to completely be, dude, Moses went to Texas. But wrong city in Texas, up $50 Uber fee just to go to the airport to his hotel. And it's like, dude, give it 2 years and the Tesla self-driving taxis are going to be there and it'll be $4 or $5 or something like that. And it's just like perfectly drive. Like it's just stuff like that. It's just extraction, you know, and all that. Like,
it is. It is so hard though. Cause you're just like, all right. So for example, the truck driving example, you're like, okay, so now the problem is like with all of these things, you're just trying to weigh the cost because you're like, okay, so let's say 99% of the time, right? Like 99% of the time, it's going to be fantastic, right? To have a self-driving car. Okay. It's going to be great. there's obviously still going to be accidents. There's still going to be things where the car computer gets confused or whatever. Like but let's say 99% of the time. But the problem is the 1% of the time, or like the one, you know, the 0.1% of the time, is a situation like Jason, the guy who works for Ocean, right? Who he on a, with his spare time, he was like Bitcoiner 2010. Like the guy's been in Bitcoin forever. He doesn't need to work, but he just does it for the love of the game. And he, and one of the things he likes to do in his spare time is do bug bounties for Teslas. And so he ended up finding a bug that gave him control over Tesla's entire fleet. So he got like passed up the chain of command at Tesla to like the third in command guy, and said to this guy, "Are you near a Tesla?" The guy said, "Yes." He said, "Give me the last three or four of the VIN." The guy, after asking him some questions, gave it to him, and he turned the car on remotely and moved it. And the guy was abjectly terrified and says, "Who is this? Who are you?" Because like he just recognized this guy. One guy had the power to turn on every, like, access to every Tesla car, crash them all, send them off cliffs. Like, everyone could be destroyed at one time. And so just like that reality, it's like, okay, this is very convenient. And yet, like, the edge case of this, like, the worst case scenario is worse than any situation that we've ever been in. Like, that's more damage than nuclear warfare. That's more, like, potentially, like, it's crazy. Like, the edge case, like the worst case scenario in some of these things. Now, again, you could, this has been the case with nukes. I guess it's not as bad as nukes. You could, if everyone nuked at the same time, we'd all be wiped out. And yeah, this would only wipe out people who had Teslas and the people who are in their immediate vicinity. But like just this type of that level of, I just think we're not prepared. Like we there's people who are only, they're only thinking about the best case scenarios for these things. And they're not thinking about, they're primarily thinking about the best case scenarios, because those best case scenarios can make them a lot of money. Or again, the companies that are the AI companies are they're incentivized to only present the rosiest picture because of the amount of money that they can make in the short term, while putting off the worst case scenarios and like downplaying them or whatever. And so that's where, again, even though we're trying to present a sunnier picture, I just still, you know, it still is one of these things where it's like, this is just a very poor decision-making process, anti-human decision-making process, to just be like, oh, look at all the cool stuff we can do, while still, you know, not putting as much emphasis on the real risks that I think the existential risks that I think are still there.
And I wonder if it's a temporary thing until it matures. But yeah, your point of its centralization and control is definitely
that. Yeah, centralization is always going to be, you know, a problem. What we're saying is there are decentralized ways to, you know, to use AI. But again, all of these things just create huge honeypots, right? So Tesla's going to be like, let's say Tesla continues to grow. Let's say Teslas end up being, I mean, there's all kinds of news about China's electric car thing being like a house of cards, like their businesses are crashing and all kinds of stuff. So let's say like Tesla continues to get market share. It ends up where one of every four cars on the road is a Tesla. You know, you get to one of these things. It's a giant honeypot. It's just a giant honeypot for a nation state actor who actually has the resources to hack. I mean, again, Jason, this guy from Ocean, he's one dude. He's just one dude just surfing the internet. Just, he figures this out on his own, owns the entire fleet. So like, what could happen if you have like nation states that put meaningful resources into doing something like this? Like, it's just,
hey, did you guys ever see Minority Report?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Did you ever see Minority Report? So like, that's a great example of he's trying to escape. And all the cars are automated and they're all on the highway, and that's the highway goes like vertical, and
he has to like dive out of the car. Yeah.
And so, but the cars are controlled. They're all like, you know, robot controlled cars. And so the traffic, there's like, again, in the future, maybe we only need 25% of the cars that exist now. The traffic will be twice as fast. LA traffic in the middle of the rush hour will just be going 55, you know.
Yeah.
3 feet away from each other, like perfectly synchronized. So that part of it is nice. And then, but then in that case, he's trying to escape like, false
thing, and the cops, yeah, or if he gets in a car, it's going to be controlled immediately by the police and just stop. You know, anyway, yeah, it's a great visual of what you're describing.
It is. It's just like efficiency is this double-edged sword. It really is this double-edged sword. Somebody, I can't remember if it was Chesterton or somebody, like one of the worst, he basically said something to the effect of one of the worst things that could happen is for there to be an efficient government. And it's like, because like if you had an efficient government, like, and obviously there's gradations to this, but like there, like
the people wouldn't want to dismantle it.
Well, no, not even that, but it's just like an efficient government could do atrocities that we've never even imagined, right? Like if you could, I mean, like this is already true. We're already on lists somewhere, bro. Like the fact that we're discussing these things, like we're on lists somewhere of like, all right, you know, I mean, just think about it. Like right now, it has never been easier in human history to systematically eliminate the quote unquote problematic people, right? Like you could just eliminate the, because you have, we're talking online, we're doing all these things. You could systematically find the people who are talking about, I mean, what, let's just try to do this. What subjects would you need to talk about? All right, if you're talking about sovereignty, if you're talking about government overreach, if you're talking about 3D printed things, if you're talking about, Bitcoin, so money outside the state. Basically, if you, there's like a, you could probably take like 20 different topics. And if somebody has overlap in their search history on like three of them, the government could just pretty safely go, like an oppressive government could pretty safely just go, all right, we're just going to preemptively wipe those guys out. Just preemptively. Now, again, what percentage of the population would that be? No, it wouldn't have to be big.
Small,
like, let's say,
small.
Yeah. Like it's like, let's say it's like a quarter of a percent. Like that could be catastrophic. And it's never been easier. It's never been easier to do. Like, and that could eliminate so many problems. Again, that's probably not going to happen in the United States, but
unfortunately,
yeah. Well, can I give an anecdote real quick? Can I give an anecdote? Sorry, Ryan, this is so fits into what you're saying. So the picture behind me is Afghanistan when I traveled in 2018, and I went to Afghanistan, Tajikistan, and Turkey. And in all three cases, one of my big takeaways was all three countries, they're super duper aware of their phones. They are aware of their phones like it's literally the government listening.
Yep.
And so when I was in Tajikistan, we were not allowed to say the word Afghanistan.
Mm.
There was like a code word if we wanted to refer to, oh yeah, we just came from, and I think it was 5.1 because that was its danger scale, you know, something like that. So we don't say the word Afghanistan. When I was in Afghanistan, we don't say the word mission, among others. Because yep, there's a bunch of missionaries there, but mission is like military too, a military term,
yeah,
right?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So we don't say the word mission. And if you look in the skies in Kabul, there's like blimps, and those yep, blimps are there, and they're I don't know the details. I think it's mostly similar to how it is with us. It's mostly through the internet, right? Mm-hmm. But the blimps are also there, and they're there for signals. They're like picking up, they're like little small blimps, and they're like electronic yep, thingies. So if you say the word mission, they may not come and arrest you, but it's like, boop. Now, yeah, keep in mind, this is 2018. This is not yep, 2026. This is 2018. In Turkey, my friend was telling me about the revolution. He takes his phone, he turns it off, he puts it under his leg while we're driving the car so he can tell me about the revolution that was happening 2 years before, so 2016.
Yep.
Because even then, those nations who will use it for against you will flag you. And speaking as a Christian, every single Christian in like Istanbul is pretty much being monitored. And it's yeah, not that they're being all captured and tortured, but it's a small enough number. 100% of them are being monitored. And I mean, people on the phone yeah, listening to their conversations.
Yeah. So, and here's what I'm trying to say is in like 20 years ago, right? So like we knew 9/11 was going to happen, right? Right. We knew it. Like the FBI knew it was going to happen, knew there were guys who were preparing. But there was so much information. It was like they didn't have a way to filter like the information fast enough and quickly enough to basically to make use of all the information they had. With AI, you now can do that.
Yeah.
And so like what you just pointed out, like you just said, they use these code words, right? They use it. Well, now once you know the code word, you can retroactively go back and just like plug in. It's like, all right, here, we're going to filter through. Now, anytime you see this word.
The cover for, no, I was kidding.
Yeah, exactly. But no, but like seriously. And so like, that's the thing, what I'm talking about is like, again, this is, it's going to be, it's like, it's, this is where I don't feel like I have a good grasp on whether or not even this kind of an episode where we're trying to talk about the benefits of it, is this just picking up nickels in front of a steamroller? Like, is this just so obviously going to go awfully?
Yeah.
We should just cast it into the fire.
I think we have to remember that, there is a spiritual war going on, and there are people that are using the technology to bring things into the light. And I'll use just one example from this last week. So it's easy, and I 100% agree with you. There's a lot of negative ways that this technology can be used. But think about Nick Shirley, for example.
Yeah.
He ended Tim Walz's political career. This is the almost vice president of the United States. He's ended him. And so this is a single individual that did more work than like Pulitzer Prize journalists in the past, more work than our huge news networks, and totally blew up his career, and it deserved to be blown up.
Yeah.
So like individuals now have the power to like bring things into the light that like never would have seen the light in the past. So it's like technology that's used for evil, technology that's used for righteousness and justice and all.
Perfect example.
But like, so it just like, I think as believers, we can't get dejected and defeated in the sense of, especially because we actually have hope, and we do, and I know it sounds super cheesy, but we do know the ending. Like we do know the ending. And so I think we need to remain optimistic. Also, one more thing about the, I think a lot of the critics, this has just been an observation of mine. I'm not ignoring all the potential perals of AI. From my observation, some of the biggest, loudest critics of AI and how bad it's going to be for humanity have been coming from those who are obviously they're having their jobs, professions, crafts disrupted.
Sure.
First. It's like the artist is shaking his fist. I spent 30 years and learning how to watercolor, and this AI is going to steal all my stuff. And it's just like, chill out. Like, there's going to be disruptions. It's not going to destroy your craft. Like, So anyways, all that to say, it's emotional both ways. And where is it actually going to land? It's going to be somewhere in the middle, like it always does. Because it's a tool that can be used for good, used for evil,
Trump commuted someone's sentence too, right? Just recently, like someone said, what was the samurai wallet guy?
I don't think he's done it yet, but they're trying to get him. Yeah, they're trying.
But anyway, the pressure for that, like this guy could just be in a dark hole for eternity if it was 30 years.
Sure.
You would never know about him.
100%.
But the pressure for that is.
Well, and think about, I mean, just to that point, think about the reason why, like, why is Ross free?
Yeah.
And so maybe this is where we can close this. We can bring this episode to close. We've been going for about an hour and a half or hour and a quarter here. Like, why is Ross free? Because Bitcoin because combination of Bitcoin gave money and political sway to people who never would have had it otherwise. And then that got like that money and that influence got really good people access to Trump and access to his people. And so like when I was in New York City, the Angela McCardle, or I think it's her name, who basically was the one working behind the scenes to get Ross free, who I think is actually a Christian. She spoke at PubKey when I was there, and it was wild hearing her talk. And she just basically said, yeah, like Trump, he appreciated the Bitcoin people and like the support that they gave him. And so that bought credibility and he was in. Like, he just was like, all right, what can I do? And he was willing to do whatever it took. And again, like that was a pretty low bar actually, because the risk reward was pretty, pretty low. But again, it's one of these things where like Bitcoin really does matter. Like it really does change the incentives. It really does. Be even beyond the immediate short-term stuff like that, even that's just a low bar, like low hanging fruit. Like there's much bigger, much bigger, higher level, things that it reorganizes and incentives that it changes, that again, we're just going to see more and more fleshing out over time.
Yeah. And it also, it's also united a group of people around the truth, mm-hmm. around, because Bitcoin represents true money and honest money. And again, so it's like when it came to the injustice, the Bitcoin community who loves truth absolutely rallied around that cause. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I mean, I think Christians should be doing the same thing. But yeah. And so again, I think we're going to see it, and it's happening with Nostr. It's happening with decentralized communications. Again, cause you have a huge community that actually cares about truth. And, yeah. So this is another side benefit.
Yeah. It's going to allow individual creators and small, you know, it says about in the Bible, calls the little people, meaning just people without power, people without prestige, people that aren't connected, to be able to do things that they never could have done. And Nick Shirley is such a great example of like,
yep.
It's like he is an investigative journalist, period. Why? Yep. Because he investigatively journalized something. That's it, right?
But he didn't have the a degree from Harvard, Matt. Surely he can't be considered a journalist, right?
So that's the end it on the positive humanization part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try to find some dirt on him, you know. Maybe he has some, but the point is like you can't find a problem. He's up to infinite scrutiny, and it's just clear that what he found is true.
Modern day Daniel. Dude, it's the same thing that's happened with the Oregon vote by mail. That was another big story that happened today.
Yeah. Well,
and it's like, wait a minute, how did that happen? It's again, it's just random individuals who are able to like sleuth stuff up now. You obviously using technology, and then yep. the bullhorn of technology to like, dude, we have a huge tight governor race coming up in Oregon. Republican barely lost to the Democrat last time. We've been under Democrat rule in Oregon for 45 years or something like that, like my entire life. Oh, now they have to scrape 800,000 voters off the rolls in Oregon, they just announced. It's like, oh, what's that going to do? Who knows?
Yeah.
That can shift the election.
Which represents Oregon like
just
30%.
Became Texas, baby. Let's go.
Anyways, like if that ends up flipping the state and so that it goes back to a Republican government and a whole bunch of nonsense in Oregon gets flipped back again, I would submit that as, you know,
yeah.
Article A of like, dude, that is unbelievable. That's like, if that,
yep.
I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but my entire life we've been under Democrat rule and it's been terrible in Oregon. And then it needs to flip just for the sake of like, there needs to be a contrast and not unlimited power.
I will say, again, to combat some of what I've been saying, like, I do think that one of the things that you can doom and gloom and catastrophize some of these things, you know, and think about the worst case scenario and miss a lot of the good that can be done. And yeah, and I do think that's these are examples of what you're talking about. So like there is no, to put it another way, there is no substitute. There's no escaping the need to trust the Lord with your life and just with things. Like it'd be easy to say, oh, we just get rid of AI, then everything would be fixed. It's like, no, we've lived that life. It actually got pretty horrible, and there's nothing that we could, you know, very limited things that we could do about it. And so, yeah, I do think that's a valuable takeaway is, you know, whether, no matter what's going on externally, whether things look great or they look poor, they look dire, like we still need to trust the Lord. We need to, you know, just give ourselves to Him and, you know, just try to, you know, carry out what He would have us to do, prioritize what He prioritizes and just trust Him in the in-between gaps of what could or, you know, what might happen.
And maybe to the general public, like learn a little bit about what LLMs actually are. Not that you have to become an expert,
mm-hmm.
but you need to understand it's just a computer doing stuff. It isn't a person. So, you know, if you learn what it is, you'll be better at it. You'll be less creeped out, and you might have good ideas for how it can be used for righteousness' sake.
Well, I think that's a pretty good place to stop. Again, Oshawa, love you too, bro. He didn't come meet us. Oh, Ryan, were you gonna add something?
I was gonna let Scott Adams have the last word.
Do it.
The very end of his final writing, where he was just challenging everyone to be helpful, and it's like, yeah. He also, yeah, He also professed belief in Christ, or at least kind of.
Yeah.
In his final words.
We'll talk more about that next episode. I think that's a great
episode.
It'd be a great food for thought. Let me just put this in the public chat just as we close. Again, thank you guys for your support. If you are not a subscriber to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or Fountain, which is, we appreciate those guys. That's where we host our podcast. Or if you're not a subscriber on YouTube, please go do that. It is a huge way to help us. We are up to 1,140, I think, something like that, subscribers. That's, again, we've been growing slowly. We want to get bigger. We'd love to get to the point. We'd love to have 10,000 subscribers by the end of this year. So if this is something that you're benefiting from, go right now, okay? Share this link. Share it with maybe three people from church, okay? Three people that you appreciate. We would love to get to 10,000 subscribers. I'm trying to think. We'll have to figure out something we can do if we get to 10,000 subscribers by the end of the year. We'll give away a certain amount of Bitcoin or something like this. Well, maybe we'll try to set it.
We'll host a podcast from Hawaii.
Okay. Well, see, this is something we're actually going to be doing more of, is live and in-person events. Maybe here's what we'll do. We'll have to plan this better. Never mind. We'll have a conversation about this. We will reward those. The person, if we can figure out some way to quantify who shared the most, we could figure out how to do a live episode in the town closest to whoever this person is. So we'll see what we can do to figure that out. Referral system, something like that.
Use AI to build it.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Bring it full circle. What way to go, Ryan. I will say, let's see, let me share this real quick. Again, for all of you, go support us, go grab the books, the Orange Umbrella books specifically. We've got tons of those. Help me to clear out my office of all these books. We also have here, I put it in the chat, link to where you can actually buy and receive like an actual ticket for the event that you can interact with your ticket app on your iPhone or wherever it is. I'm putting it in the chat over here on the YouTube link. It might be, I don't know if it's going to go into the chat on like Twitter and stuff like that, but you can find that there. Go grab your tickets. We would love to see you there, meet up with you, and have more of these type of conversations. Again, we'll also be doing much more specific Bitcoin conversations at that point or at that event. We're going to do a lot more hands-on stuff than we've done in the past. So at least for part of the day, specifically how to do transactions and you know, just how to handle wallets, how to do that kind of stuff. So it's going to be very hands-on for more a larger percentage than it's been to this point. So we would love to see you. We'd love to have your support in those ways to help us continue to help people understand and use Bitcoin for the glory of God and the good of people everywhere. We will see you later this week on another episode of the Thank God for Bitcoin podcast. I'll see. It's probably going to be a Thank God for Bitcoin podcast and not a To the Unknown pod. So we'll get you more info on that in the next couple days. We'll chat soon.